Open in your Bibles with me this morning, please, to the book of Matthew and chapter 24. And actually, I'm going to back up just a few verses into chapter 23 for our scripture reading this morning. I had considered reading the entirety of chapter 24 for our scripture reading, and came to the conclusion that it's a little bit long of a passage to read in its entirety, but we're going to read much of it and then highlight the other portions before we begin to look into God's Word. But I'll begin our reading this morning in chapter 23 and with verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft when I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And then go down to verse 32 of the chapter. Chapter 24 and verse 32. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things shall be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage till the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known at what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant who the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let us bow for prayer as we approach the Word of God together this morning. Our gracious, kind, and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. What a privilege it is for us to have it before us, to have it in abundance, to have it in our own language. Lord, how woefully negligent we are in our study of Thy Word. And Father, though we have Your Word before us in printed form this morning, we acknowledge that our understanding of spiritual truth is not based on an intellectual perception of the meaning of words. But rather, Father, if we are to be benefited spiritually, if we are to be fed from heaven, if we are to be improved by grace this day, that can only happen as Your Spirit opens our hearts to receive Your Word, Lord. For we have within us that old nature, and the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. And so, Father, this day, as we open the Holy Book, the written Word of God, may You awaken our new man from the slumber of sloth, from the tendencies of minds that wander. And Lord, by Your Spirit, may You show us the glories of Christ in the Word of God. Father, we thank You that You have given to us the knowledge of all things that are needful for life and godliness. You have given to us the understanding of all those things which You would have us to understand. And You have kept secret those things which are not for us to understand. You are all wise. Bless us, Your people, today through Your Word and in Your Word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In the third verse of chapter 24, the disciples ask this question, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" Now, if you're sitting there thinking, "Oh boy, Pastor Joe is going to tell us, going to give us a big roadmap of the end times," I fear you will go away sorely disappointed. God has given us the knowledge and understanding of everything He would have us to know. And yet Scripture is very clear that no man knoweth the day or the hour when these things shall be. And so it is not our purpose nor our prerogative to set dates or to give hard predictions. This is what's going to happen. We believe everything that we just read, it is true. And we believe that every jot and tittle of it will be fulfilled. And not one jot or tittle of God's Word will be lost. It will all be fulfilled. I can't tell you when. I cannot tell you in what order. You see, we are creatures of time. Every one of us woke up this morning, unless we spent the entire night sleepless. The sun rose this morning and it will set tonight. And we live bound by time. We had a birth date and the Lord knows the date of our death. God is eternal. He's not bound by these structures of time. And so when we talk about the end time and future events, they are as present with God as the creation was present with God. God is not bound by time. And so it's not for us to make predictions of when these scriptures will be fulfilled. And there are all kinds of theological schemes, and you can take the books on the end times and buy a dozen of them, and you will find a dozen explanations and a dozen answers. And the reason is, no man knoweth. And the man who says, "I know what's happening," be careful, because Scripture says he doesn't. Now, with that introduction, we come to Christ's teaching on the end times. And this is a fascinating chapter. I didn't read it all for sake of time, but let's take a whirlwind tour. 24 and verse 5, "Many shall say, I'm Christ." 24:6, "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." 24:7, "There shall be famine and pestilence." 24:10, Many shall be offended and betray one another. 24:11, false prophets shall arise and deceive many. 24:14, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached for a witness. 24:15, the abomination of desolation. 24:21, then there shall be great tribulation. 24:22, except those days be shortened, none shall be saved. 24:24, for then there shall rise false Christ. Verse 27, as the lightning cometh forth, etc. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation. 31, and you get the idea. Where we picked up our reading, Christ says, know the parable of the fig tree. When you see these things happening, you have indications, and I believe we have indications today. But the reformers believed Christ was coming in their day, and they were not wrong. And the apostles believed Christ was coming in their day, and they were not wrong. The question we really should answer is, what are we supposed to do in the meantime? We know He's coming. We know it's all going to be fulfilled. That's not the question. The question is, what are we doing in the meantime? How are we conducting ourselves in this world in the time that God put us? Now, I know a lot of you are historians, and I love history as well. And often the question is asked, if you could be born in any time, where would you want to be? Would you want to be at the Gettysburg Address? Would you have been at Lexington and Concord? Would you have been at Corregidor or some great event in history? We were born when God wanted us to be born. So our time frame is now. And so I'd like us to see, first of all, going down to verse 22, that we need to prepare for the coming. We don't know when it is, but we know it's coming. We need to prepare. Look at verse 42. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. Let me talk to the teenagers for a minute. Mom and Dad have been away. The house is a wreck. The sink's full of dishes. There are towels all over the bathroom. The floor looks like a herd of elephants have been marching through the living room. And you don't know what mom and dad are, when mom and dad are getting home. What do? You get busy. You get busy real quick. Watch therefore, for ye know not when the Son of Man cometh. And he continues there in verse 43, for if the good man of the house, that's the owner of the house, had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Mr. Jones, just wanted to let you know that at 7:32 tonight, a guy's going to be scoping out your house, and along about 11:15, he'll be breaking in. No, he's not. No, I'm going to meet him at the door, right? If we know, but we don't know, and so we always have to watch. What are we watching? Preparing for his return, because no man knoweth the day nor the hour. Flip over to 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to have you turn to several different passages this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Peter is following exactly on what Christ was saying. Christ said, if you knew what hour the thief was coming, you would have watched. Well, look what Peter says. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Folks, we live in this world. We exist in this age that God ordained us to be born. We know that everything around us is to be destroyed. We have a bit of insider information that the world doesn't have. You see, the world around us, the unbelievers among whom we dwell, are going through this world making plans for the next 1,000 years. When global warming is going to be so bad. I digress. But we understand that it's all going to be dissolved. And God has given us this period in time. What manner of person should we be in all holiness and godliness? What should our conversation be? You see, the thief is coming. And we need to be watching. We need to be ready. And if you're taking notes, just jot down 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 to 6. I won't go there now, but it echoes the same idea that we're not of the darkness, but we're of the day. We're not children of the night. We're children of the light of God. We need to be watching. But not only do we find that we need to be watching, but also if we go back to our text and look at verse 43, we need to be working. Verse 43 of Matthew 24. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Those are active words, aren't they? That's not a passive thing at all. He would have actively defended his house because he knew the thief was coming. He would have been busy. He would have been working. He may have been installing new locks. He may have been putting in burglar alarms or cameras, but he was busy. We sang the song a few moments ago, "Work for the Night is Coming." And Jesus declared to his disciples that he must work while it is day. The night cometh when no man shall work. You see, when Christ does return, will he find faith on the earth? How could it be that that question should be posed? Because God's people need to be busy. We need to be working within our own hearts, working within the Word of God, disciplining ourselves within this environment and this society. My dad used to say, any dead fish can float down the stream. There he goes. Lots of movement. He's dead. But it takes a live fish to swim up the stream. We're swimming against the current, folks. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We need to be working. We need to be busy about the Master's business. Just as Christ himself said at 12 years old when he was in the temple, he said, "What? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Who's your Father? As the children of God, we don't know when Christ is coming back. We cannot give you a timeline. We cannot give you the specifics. We see hints and signs, just as Christ pointed out the old hints and signs, all the hints and signs to the disciples. God has given us to know exactly what he wants us to know. He has hidden from us that which is not for us to know. The secret things belong to God. But we have to be working. Christianity is not a lazy profession. It takes constant diligence. And if we go back to the text and look down to verse 48 of Matthew 24. But if that evil servant... How many evil servants we have this morning? No, don't raise your hand. But if the evil servant says, "Oh, it's not... it's going to be a while." And he begins to beat his fellow servants, and he begins to hang around with the drunkards, and he... "I've got plenty of time. We'll take care of it later." No. The child of God should be working for the Lord's return. Compare with me in Luke 12, Luke's account of Christ's words over in Luke chapter 12. This account is found for us in multiple places in the gospel. But in Luke 12 and 45, we find these words. "But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and he shall begin to beat his men servants and maidens, and to eat and to be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looked not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him a portion with the unbelievers. We're talking about the body of Christ. But here, that evil servant is pointed a portion not among the body of Christ, but with the unbelievers. In verse 47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. You see, there's a dichotomy there. There are some that are claiming, hey, I'm a believer, I'm a child of God, I prayed the prayer, I signed the card, I did all the little things. And they are with the unbelievers. They're goats. They're not sheep to begin with. And then there are others that they're saved so as by fire, beaten with many stripes. And so we must be diligently working, not working to save our souls, but by our fruit we are known. But then we saw we're to be watching, we're to be working, and we're to be waiting. We're to be patiently waiting for the coming of Christ. Verse 44, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. What's it mean to be waiting? Well, I don't believe this waiting is a passive thing. We think of waiting as, here it comes. No. I think the best way to consider this matter of us waiting is to show what it is to be not waiting. What is the opposite? What is the negative of this one? Well, first of all, we're not waiting, we're not ready if we're living in known sin. If there is within the life of one who claims to be a believer that which he would be ashamed of at the coming of Christ, he's not waiting. He's not ready. He's not prepared. He's like the teenager in the house. It's a mess. You see, if we are living in sin, if our lives are not regulated by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, we are not waiting for the coming of the Lord. We're not ready. We're not prepared. As Christians, we should live our lives every day in light of the fact that our Master is returning. Is He coming today? Oh, I hope so. How glorious that would be. How wondrous. But if He did, would I be ashamed? If He came before we left this building, how many of us would wish we could rush back home and take care of a couple things before we go? You see, we are not waiting if we're living in known sin. And we find in our text in Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39, that as it was in the days of Noah, it's N-O-E in our New Testament here, but it's Noah it's referring to. It's the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and it says, and they knew not until the flood came. Why didn't they know? Noah had been preaching for 120 years. No, they just weren't paying attention. They didn't care. You see, if we are living in sin, we're not ready for Christ to come. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Also, we are not waiting, we are not ready, if we don't have a witness for Christ. Christ has given us the responsibility to be lights in this world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. No man lighteth a candle and putteth it in a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all in the room. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, it's not like Christ said, I'm coming and just sit there and wait for me. But rather, we as the children of God, we as Christians, are to live a testimony for Christ. We are to speak a testimony for Christ. We talked about this some at the men's prayer breakfast yesterday. We call ourselves Americans, and we know what that means. We know that we are a group of people. We are different from other groups of people. We have distinctiveness, and we love our nation, and we are ready to die for our nation and defend our nation. We understand that title. We're Americans. But as Christians, we are far more. We are children of the King of Heaven. We are emissaries and ambassadors for Christ. And yet, we have so much patriotism for our nation and so little patriotism for our real home in heaven. You see, if we do not have a testimony for Christ, if we're just sitting in our corner, we're not watching for the return of Christ. We're not waiting. We're not ready. Paul said of Christ in Colossians 1 and verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Oh, may God give us grace to be patriotic about heaven, to be a witness for Jesus Christ. This whole discourse, it's divided in the chapters and in the verses for our convenience in locating it. But the first section of chapter 25, which obviously follows 24, is the story of the wise and the foolish virgins. Why would Christ put that in this same context? Because the virgins had one job, and their job was to light the pathway for the bridegroom. When the bridegroom came, the virgins were to have their lamps trimmed and burning bright. They were to shine light on the pathway. There were wise virgins and foolish virgins. The wise virgins were ready. They had their oil. Their lamps were trimmed and burning bright. The others had no oil in their lamps, and they did not go in with the bridegroom. We have one job, folks, to light the pathway for the bridegroom. May God give us grace to be a witness and a testimony for Him. But not only do we have the preparation for His return, but this passage gives us glorious promises to those who are ready, to those who are watching, to those who are ready for the waiting for the return of Christ. Look at verse 45 of Matthew 24. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Faithful and wise servant. Does that remind you of another passage? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Who is this faithful and wise servant? Who is the one who will know the blessings of this time, who can truly at that instant say, hallelujah, I'm ready? Not just that my soul is saved, but that my heart is tuned to the glory of Christ. And I know that I have fulfilled that which God gave me to do, whether that moment come when Christ takes the whole church or takes me individually on a deathbed. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Oh, what a glorious promise that is. And if we begin as Christians to truly anticipate that reward, we won't care so much about the things of this world, will we? We won't be as concerned about laying up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But rather, if we are truly waiting and longing for the coming of Christ, if we are endeavoring with all of our being to be that faithful servant, then our treasures will be in heaven. Then our eyes will be on the prize. John 15, verse 16, Christ said to the disciples, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." That's why he chose them, to go and bring forth fruit. "And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask in the name of my Father, he may give it." And earlier in John, in that same passage in John 15 and verse 5, Christ said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." What's that mean? Well, we are not independent little things hanging out here, but rather Christ is the vine, and we grow as branches from that vine that we might bring forth fruit. And so it's our responsibility to be faithing. But look, going back to our faithing, it's our responsibility to be faithful. Sometimes my brain gets ahead of my tongue. But going back to Matthew 24 again, and down to verse 46, blessed is that servant. Blessed is that servant. You know, we have a lot of problems, don't we? We're a congregation of wounded ducks. Don't take offense if we call you wounded ducks. We all have our burdens. And it's our responsibility to bear one another's burdens and to hold one another up in prayer and to be there for one another. But we're truly a blessed people in spite of it all. Blessed is that servant. In spite of all the problems and troubles and weights and sicknesses and debts and bills and responsibilities and lies and all these darts that come in at us constantly, blessed is that servant. It doesn't say peaceful, though God gives us peace like a river. It doesn't say king of the earth. What it does say is that God will make that faithful servant ruler over his household within the kingdom of God. And if we look at the context, where did Christ begin? All these things will be dissolved. All these things, this beautiful temple that you're showing me, disciples, not a stone will be left on it. It doesn't matter. It's crumbling away. But here God promises to those that are waiting, to those that are watching, to those that are working, blessed. Because your blessing is in the kingdom that passeth not away. It's in the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, verse 47, I will make him ruler. He will make him ruler over all his goods. But the passage doesn't end there. The chapter also warns us of punishment at his return. Verse 48. I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 48. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Where is the sign of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they are. Now, those words were spoken in reference to the unbeliever. They were spoken in reference to those outside of the fellowship of the gospel, outside of the body of Christ. But how like the world we Christians become. How the things around us begin to stick to us. How easy it is for us to get the flow of the society. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. You see a contrast there, a difference? Not like the others. But here the evil servant, he's drinking with the drunkards. And the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him asunder, and appoint him a portion with the, what's the next word? Hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ah, my friend, we know the grace of Christ, and yet we know there are tares among wheat. We know the gospel. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. We have grown up, most of us, within the fellowship of believers. Many of us have grown up in Christian homes. Others of us have come to this knowledge of Christ later in life at different times and different points. And yet it is so easy to assimilate within a fellowship without Christ. And when Christ appoints a man a portion with the hypocrites, it is with those that give all the appearance without the substance. May God give us grace not just to be putting on the show, but to know the Savior. For no man knoweth the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. We need to be watching. We need to be waiting. We need to be working. We need to be ready. But above all else, we need to be genuine. Do you know Jesus Christ? Or do you just know about Him? May God give us grace that in this sweet fellowship here at Pilgrim, we be not hypocrites, we be not showers, that we may truly know the grace of Jesus Christ, and as a body, may we let our light so shine, may we be ready when He comes. Let us stand for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, this day may it illumine our hearts and our senses. Father, this day may Your Word cut deep to our souls. May Your Word, which is the divider of soul and spirit and joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, may it pierce deep into us. Father, use this congregation. Use this people. Set us on fire by Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we be a people that are genuinely working and waiting for the coming of Christ, that are genuinely setting our sights on things above and not on things of the earth. Father, I pray, Lord, for our children. Lord, I pray that You will save them, every one. I pray, Lord, for our adults, for all of us. Lord, may we look internally, that we may look externally to Christ. May You show us what we are and show us what we ought to be. Father, bless us. Use us for Your glory. In Jesus' name.